Okay, good morning everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now today is Monday the 10th of March. So let's get straight into today's trade plan then. I suppose we've got a little bit more of an update from Donald Trump on the close of Friday evening just around this Bitcoin reserve. Interesting to see the response from Bitcoin itself. Very, very disappointing, despite some of the things that Donald Trump's been saying. And we're still, there's a lack of clarity in terms of these tariffs, whether they'll be implemented. He keeps sort of postponing, pushing out the implementation of these tariffs. So whether he and the administration are likely to follow through on these tariffs to full extent is unfortunately still unknown. I mean, the markets are looking for a confirmation either way. And we very difficult to get to grips with the actual strategy itself. And then therefore you can work out whether that's going to be good or bad for the economy. But when we don't really know, people still say it's still a negotiation tactic, but there has to be a strategy that underpins it. Okay, so just as a quick introduction, that all profitable trades need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. Where do we want to be looking for the best trades? Where do we then enter and exit those markets? How do we manage risk? How do we manage each trade to a successful outcome? So we're actually still in three open trades currently over the weekend. We've got into them on Friday. And we'll see how they perform over the course of the day. So trade psychology is an important feature as well, of course, for these markets. So we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, as you know, and we are always strong advocates of trying to maintain a high degree of consistency, even when market dynamics can get a little bit crazy. So being consistent in our approach is really useful. Accurate, that was we use discipline with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. So let's start a review of potential market moving news then. So I suppose the first thing to just bring to your attention is the fact that we've now got a daylight saving time shift in North America, Canada, and US. And that just means that a lot of these new data points are actually an hour earlier. So, for example, on Tuesday, we normally have US CPI numbers at 1:30. We're going to get the earlier time of 12:30. So that would be a little bit earlier. And we'd broadcast a little bit earlier as well, especially this week with some of the more important news events. So especially kind of Wednesday and Thursday, we'd broadcast a little bit earlier. Today, nothing of any major interest. So we got news from Donald Trump over the weekend about this Bitcoin reserve. So the expectation was the US economy, the US administration would be looking to actively buy up Bitcoin. Instead, what it is it's kind of a Bitcoin reserve for the Bitcoin they already have. It's a bit of a strategy around if they attain more Bitcoin through budget neutral means. So it's the US government basically acquiring Bitcoin, maybe through freezing accounts, or might be some criminal element to where this Bitcoin comes from. So whatever the US collates in terms of Bitcoin, it'll be put into this fund, and I suppose decisions will be made off the back of it. But they're looking to kind of hoard Bitcoin. Okay, and not just Bitcoin, it's a digital strategy, really. It's a digital cryptocurrency strategy. Okay, so from a news perspective, so what we have, when you take a step back, we're getting some of the softer or the perhaps more minor data points looking like they're getting worse. The problem is all the solid data, all the more important or the hard data, still for now seems to be okay. Last week's job numbers was another good example. We got a really strong US job numbers, like the non-farm payroll employment change number came in fairly solid, a little bit below expectations. But this is what caused the slight panic, I guess, with the price action, was the fact that the unemployment rate actually ticked a little bit higher. So it's still in the realms of sort of acceptable movements in the unemployment rate, but there's a bit of a panic because both of these numbers on the surface looked quite weak. But actually non-farm payroll number is actually quite a strong one. A bit of weakness on the ADP, so this is a good example of the softer numbers coming in much weaker, but the more important non-farm employment change number for the US economy coming in quite strong. You can see an uptick on the previously it was 125, so we've actually seen the number of jobs added increase over the last month. And this unemployment rate ticking higher, which is, these things don't need to make sense, as we've known since COVID. We also heard from Jerome Powell as well, really unsure in terms of what decisions they'll need to make just regarding the Trump tariffs. There's an awful lot of unknowns. And as we look at US bond yields, the 10-year is 4.27 and the 2 years at 3.97. So we're just moving sideways around these lower levels. I think that's probably a relatively kind of fair summary of these bond yield markets. So they're not really falling or rallying to any great extent. So we've been like this now for, probably have to go back. Yeah, kind of end of February time, you know, over the last, this is early March, end of February, early March. The bond markets are kind of staying out of these current dynamics, and it's understandable that they're not really making any massive moves, just purely off the back of the fact that the softer data is getting worse. I think it's clearly getting worse, but the more important data is, for now, still fine. So it's really, at what point will we see the data begin to shift for the major hard data points? And we're talking about non-farm payroll like we had on Friday. We're talking about CPI, US inflation, which we're going to get now this week. We're the 10th, aren't we? So we're already moving on. So that was just a quick look at last week. So last week, non-farm payroll, really important. We got a time shift, so everything's an hour earlier. This is the job opening numbers, which I thought we were supposed to get last week, last Tuesday, but for some reason it's a week later. Normally it's just before the non-farm payroll number on Friday, the Tuesday or the Wednesday, but this is like clearly a week later. Strong number, previously 7.6, now a bit of an uptick, so that just means that the forecast is that more jobs are being added. So again, this doesn't really make much sense if the wheels are coming off and we're running into recession. So we just got to be careful whether we make that call. Price action can just correct without it sort of moving into that category of recession. And we're trading, as you've seen now, we're trading very, very close to 200 daily period moving averages, which is really the big one as far as those traders and investors at the bigger time frames. It's really an important development, and we're broadly buyers above the 200 daily period moving average, and we're broadly sellers below. And we're really not there yet in terms of being able to make that call, and I'll show you now in just a second. On Wednesday, we've got CPI, so we broadcast a little bit earlier on Wednesday. We've got the Bank of Canada expected to cut rates 25 basis points. So there's still the desire for these central banks to continue to cut rates. We had a rate cut from the ECB last week as well. PPI on Thursday. Again, it's kind of hard to PPI. There's a bit of growth in there, but it's very similar to the previous number, slightly lower for the headline PPI number. So the inflation story is not getting worse, and in fact, the CPI looks and appears as if it's going to get just a little bit better. So this headline's year-on-year number, previously 3%. We're now looking to see if this is a little bump, 2.9. So again, this news event will be really quite interesting. And on Friday, we've got GDP for the month. The UK economy expected to move away from that little bounce that we've seen last month in growth. So as far as today's concerned, there's nothing of any major concern. I think these markets are really going to be digesting a little bit more in terms of what these markets are kind of likely, how they're likely to react. Okay, so with all of this in mind, let's have a quick look at we've spoke about the, even on Friday. So we're below the 200 period daily moving average on Friday. And we're technically below that level for the S&P 500. But this is probably the most important indicator, really, for this market. So we've clearly been in a bit of a strong rally. And we are generally quite bullish if prices are above and we've got an upward sloping 200 daily period moving average. Whereas we would be quite bearish if this started to flatline and start to look weaker and we were below that 200 period daily moving average. It would just reinforce further opportunities to start selling. And there is loads for this market to sell off into. And we know how quickly these things can sell off very, very aggressively. So we've started to see this month actually the weakness establish itself. But the question is, will it really establish itself? And we're currently trading at the 200 daily period moving average. We've got this level down here, previous highs at the 48.25. It seems a lifetime away from where we are now. But if we get some selling, some continued selling, and we are technically below that 200 daily period moving average, but we did say, just watch this candlestick on Friday, because we rallied very, very hard down to the 56.68. And we said, if this daily candlestick reverses back above the 200 daily moving average, then this is a basically a rejection of the downside. And that's pretty much what happened as we closed out on Friday. We pulled all the way back and actually turned really quite positive. And again, look, just technically above that 200 period daily moving average. And we're probably only 20 points away from it. So this becomes an interesting opportunity to the upside. And I'll tell you why. Some of the unemployment data is, let's say the job number is fine, and we're probably seeing a little bit of tightness on the unemployment number. There's an awful lot going on with Doge, and so it's in the acceptable levels with the natural disasters we've seen as well over the last couple of months. Growth and inflation, so it looks like inflation could potentially start to roll over to the downside. We get a bit of an update on Wednesday and Thursday, but potentially the softer inflation, which is would be good for the economy, good for the Fed. It's what the Fed have been talking about. And then growth is looking still pretty solid, coming down a bit, but still solid. And certainly if you compare it against other economies, then it's... So what we're saying, things can get quite bad. They're not that bad just yet. And if we just zoom out, we're really at the upper end of a pretty massive rally. So a corrective move would certainly be below these little lows in here. At the minute, there's a lot of indecision. There's no real proper decision making around it. Now, we're technically below the NASDAQ as well. The S&P is far more important. And, you know, of course, we can break through these levels and you can close below these levels. We've seen it before. But ultimately, there is a rejection. There is some momentum that does bounce off these lows. We've got something similar here. So although it looks really, and this is supported by the Magnificent Seven, the weakness we've seen in the Magnificent Seven, that weakness is not across all seven massive markets. But what we're seeing is the 50 period moving average on the daily time frame is looking lower. We're kind of flatlining as far as the 100, and we're still looking really quite bullish as far as the NASDAQ is concerned. So really interesting rollover to the downside. You can see with the Dow Jones, we're very close to bouncing off that on Friday. Finished really quite positive. We're just moving sideways. So could we get another rally to the upside? I think that is on the cards. As to whether we get it or not is another question. So the Nikkei trading around that all important support level, previous monthly low. We've got, because we've been in this long-term sideways moving pattern, you can see all the moving averages are very, very close to each other. Now, if we've got a bit of a pullback into this little zone, we'd probably look for some selling at that point. The yen is quite an interesting one. And now we've got the German DAX, which is, we were able to take profit up at these highs on, I think it was Thursday. We then rallied to the downside, rejected the lows on Friday, and we gapped lower and now looking a little bit more positive. So these gaps are a little bit dangerous because you'd expect those gaps to fill. The CAC is now at all-time highs just today as well. Bit of a sell-off sort of 2 weeks ago. Last week began to sort of rally quite significantly. So we've got this announcements around European spending and the injection of lots of capital into a European defence fund almost. So this is, I suppose, a form of liquidity for the economy. So it has a very positive potential impact on GDP. And when you increase fiscal spending, it does have that stimulative effect. So look, we had a really, really strong rally to the upside. Since Thursday, not so clear cut. A bit of weakness for the pound dollar. A bit of weakness in that trade, the dollar yen. So we're in profit in the dollar yen. We're obviously slightly weaker as far as the pound dollar is concerned. We've still got this pound dollar still has to break through, and if it does, it's likely to come all the way back to 127. So we would want to be exiting it at these highs up here. And let's see if we can stay in that trade or not. So the dollar Swiss, we did trade this breakout to the downside. I think we got stopped out on this little peak in here. So a bit annoying that particular trade before, of course, making actual sizable returns down to the areas in which we were looking to sell that trade. So the dollar CAD is an interesting one. Just bear in mind the conflict between Canada and US right now with these tariffs. Very much up and down Friday, bit of a strong rally in the end for the dollar against the CAD. We'll see how this plays out. I mean, we really have to take a wait and see approach to many of these markets right now. Yeah, the Aussie dollar, certainly our bias for now would be to the upside. Still looking at that dollar weakness trade, except the price action is not particularly encouraging. Looking at the yen. We've got 3-4 days of just indecision now. Our bias would be to the downside. It would be not a bad opportunity to start selling up at these higher levels. Get a bit of a sell-off on Thursday, a bit of buying on Friday, now further selling. So we can certainly have a dollar yen view. And we very nearly hit our take profit up at this high in here for crude oil. It looks like we can still stay in it for now because we still like this trade for a bit of short-term upside. And if we could sell at slightly higher prices, then that would be the plan also. So we can stick with it for now. Gold, yeah, just an awful lot of indecision now for 4 days, and then we're back to the S&P 500. So we certainly want to keep our options open. Let's just amend our trade plan for the day. So it is risk off, and there is this sort of mixed sort of indecision in these markets. So dollar weakness, be selective. So there's some opportunities in some areas more so than others. So dollar weakness. Are those indices weaker? Must be below these. Could we get a little bit of a bounce as well? We probably could. Okay. Let's keep our options open, just regard the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, because if we start to get above that very important 200 period daily moving average, we could get a short-term bounce. Now, medium term, we're probably edging lower, but we wait and see. That would be our instinct, but let's wait and see. So short term, little pullback, and then we might be able to sell at slightly higher prices again, probably around some sort of negative data of some kind. Narratives are proving unclear as Donald Trump tariff policies All right. So elsewhere, we want to keep all options open as market narratives. As market narratives become indecisive as Trump tariff policies are proving unclear. Okay. Put Doge in there as well. Why not? So there's a few elements which are proving a bit of a problem for these markets in terms of trying to assess these markets with any higher degree of kind of confidence in our decision making. But just posted today's trade plan there. We'll have a look at this dollar. We'll definitely have a look at the yen. And regarding the indices, if we roll over to the downside as a sell trade, if we start to break back above the 200 daily period moving average, then there's probably a buy trade. All right, you guys, listen, we're going to switch rooms now. Apologies, we're running a little bit late this morning, but we'll be set up there within a minute. So on that note, we'll have a discussion about these narratives in just a little bit more detail shortly. And any questions, contact us, let us know. But we'll be back again, of course, tomorrow morning. And those of you that want to join us for the European live trading session, then we'll be broadcasting live now very, very shortly. So we'll see you then. Thanks, everyone. The details are there into the chat box. We'll speak to you next time. Bye for now.